Idaho's Add the Words initiative has had some success on the local front, winning protections for the transgender community in 13 cities across our state, Meridian being the latest in September. Meanwhile, on the national level, the New York Times reported recently that the Department of Health and Human Services is leading an effort to rewrite the definitions of sex and gender as they are currently recognized by Title IX. This is the federal civil rights law that protects Americans from gender discrimination in federally funded education institutions. And as you can imagine, this has the transgender community on edge, waiting to see if LGBTQ rights will be taken away. Joining me live in studio to discuss the impacts a decision like this could have on Idaho's transgender community are Emily Jackson Edney, a local activist for gender and equality, and Jeremy Woodson, a spokesperson with the ACLU of Idaho. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Jeremy.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Jeremy, I want to start with you. Just tell me what this Title IX rewrite would mean, not just nationally, but here in Idaho.
Right. So nationally, what this would do, in effect, was restrict the ability of transgender, non-binary, or gender non-conforming people, or really anybody, to be honest, to access protections under the federal law that prohibits discrimination on the basis of sex in education, housing, employment, even access to health care. So that's kind of the big national piece on it. But mm-hmm. I think it's important to also point out that seeing this at the national level is also important for states, because it really is a shift, or not a shift, but really damaging the discussion on transgender rights. And if we're seeing efforts like this at the national level, for sure, you know, there may be other states that are looking at this and saying, you know, can we also replicate this at the state level? So it's important to be vigilant when we see something like this coming out of the president's administration. I'll add that, like, there are times where we see these type of efforts coming from the states and then also being replicated at the national level. So we kind of see it going back and forth in that way as well.
And so here in Idaho, we have had this push to add the words for upwards of a decade now. And since that has not been codified, I mean, we have it in certain municipalities. Could that play hand in hand then if something like this were to pass on a federal level? Like you said, Jeremy, it's all of a sudden kind of like, well, they're not doing it at the federal level, so why would we need to do it here locally? I mean, is that something you're concerned with, Emily?
Absolutely. What happens on a federal level with regards to the definition will have a significant effect here in Idaho with whatever is done. Our legislature looks to the federal level for the definitions, and under Title VII or Article VII, and also Title IX, that definition has been determined already. And intent now is for the federal government, Health and Human Services, which eventually go to the Department of Justice and Department of Education and the Department of Labor, and it'll affect everything that trans people do, and it will definitely come down to the states.
Yeah, I mean, if I can jump
in,
too,
absolutely.
You know, I think it's what Emmy is saying really is just a good example of how, like, federal law is really not the only source of protections for people, trans people and non-gender conforming, non-binary folks. There's also state and local law that really that has protections as well. So it's important to be looking at what's going on mm-hmm. at the state level in addition to kind of what's coming on, going, happening nationally.
So talk about that then. So let's say this goes through and there is a rewrite, but we have right now 13 cities, municipalities, as we said,
correct.
Meridian being the latest in September. Boise added the words back in 2012, I
correct.
Believe. That does not go away even if at the federal level this were to happen.
Yeah, that's correct. So states, they're still subject to Title IX and the U.S. Constitution, that it does not go away. But I think, again, nationally across the country and in more specifically in like North Carolina, for example, and in Massachusetts, mm-hmm. we've seen these efforts to really demean or dehumanize trans people. And it's very, very important that we attack some of that rhetoric head on and understand what's happening. And so we're able to kind of come out and defend it from all levels.
You know, it's interesting to me because I think about when we say something like this about rewriting it, right? And there is vast majority of people that would fall under this.
True.
And, you know, to take that one step farther is, well, then what else could happen next? I mean, unless you fit into a little teeny tiny box of being a straight man or a straight woman, this could really affect you. I mean, is that a fair statement to make?
True. This is an extreme fear that the transgender and gender nonconforming community have right now, because the way the rewrite is to define sex and gender is to effectively legislatively and morally mandate transgender people out of existence. And the current current buzz is to eradicate us, to make us invisible. And it does hurt in everything that a transgender people does in their lives and in how they navigate through society. And if they don't have any legal protections or anything that protects the legal definition of who they are, then it affects them in everything that they do. And it can be very hazardous for a trans person to live under that.
Is that scary to think about? And I ask that because, you know, we just acknowledge the 20-year passing of Matthew Shepard.
That's true.
The Wyoming college student. Mm-hmm. And you think, oh, we've come very far. But then, on the other hand, you think, wow, we have not.
I think the trans rights over the last decade have grown, and right now that's in jeopardy. But there are plenty of lower court and appellate court cases that protect trans people on the definition of what it means to be sex, and determination by courts is that gender identity is covered under sex discrimination. And I always bring up one specific Supreme Court case that is, and somebody asked me about that. I keep saying just Price Waterhouse, because that is the significant Supreme Court case that's already codified.
And you're nodding your head.
Jeremy. Yeah. I mean, you know, the courts have long understood that, you know, transgender people are protected against discrimination, you know, in this area. So, the law has been clear for decades. There's been a lot of talk about the previous administration helping to clarify. It is true that is the case, but I want to also just bring up that, you know, the previous administration only added interpretive guidance consistent with what the courts have already concluded. So this is not it's not like where this is something new or the protections that we're talking about is something that came out of nowhere.
I'm speaking with Emily Jackson Edney, a local activist for gender and equality, and Jeremy Woodson, a spokesperson with the ACLU of Idaho. We're talking about a potential rewrite to Title IX. And Jeremy, really, what is the likelihood that, you know, if you were a betting man, what is the likelihood that this will happen?
I mean, I don't know that I can speak to necessarily the likelihood, but I do want to say that it's important that we remain vigilant of stuff like this. You know, we've seen, obviously, in North Carolina with HB2, which actually a lot of the same folks who worked on that and defended it in court are actually the same people who are commenting and considering this rewrite and kind of helping to move it through now. And also in Massachusetts, actually, we've seen that there was an attempt to repeal protections for trans and non-gender conforming, excuse me, folks as well. Obviously, that was actually voted down on the ballot. So I just think it's important that we remain vigilant about what's going on as it relates to the rhetoric. You know, transgender people are here. Transgender people are real.
People.
They are people. And we are not we're not going to be dissuaded by rhetoric at the political or local. National or local levels about what that means.
So how important is it to continue the fight here in Idaho to add the words? This is something that, you know, it's been going on for many years. The last 2 years, it's been quieter. I mean, we had 2 years where it was, I mean, making national headlines.
Certainly.
Mm-hmm. And you know, that fight hasn't gone away. It's just gotten a bit quieter, correct, Emily?
It's gotten quieter because of leadership in the legislature has brought forward an idea of a compromise bill. And I think there was a wait and see on the part of the, add the words, consortium of people to see what that's going to entail before they react. The ideas with add the words has never changed. Mm-hmm. It's add the four words, so very simple, sexual orientation and gender identity as protected classes, and with no compromise.
And that's part of going back to being vigilant.
Yeah.
Is still moving forward with that process.
Yeah, correct. Absolutely.
I want to thank both of you for coming in today and giving us some clarification on this and how it affects Idaho. My guest today, Emily Jackson Edney, a local activist for gender inequality, and Jeremy Woodson, a spokesperson with the ACLU of Idaho. Thank you both very much.
Thanks, Gemma.
Thanks for having me.